Good morning. Today's Daf and Chagiga Yud Ches. We're in Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We are about 6 lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're going to be starting this morning with Debei Reb Elazar. We're going to be providing a drasha regarding Shavuos. In yesterday's Daf, we had a Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah taught us that there are Zanya Mei Tashlamim for Shavuos. Now, that's a Chiddush because, well, first of all, before we get to the Chiddush, so we're discussing bringing the Karbanos on Yantif. So it has been the topic of discussion since the beginning of the Masechta, and it continues to be so, at least for the first half of today's Daf. We know that in Yantif, so you have to bring a Shami Chagiga and an Olas Riyah, also Shami Simcha as well, but our focus is on the first two Karbanos, and you bring them on Yantif. There is a machlokes between Beis Shammah and Beis Hillel, whether you bring him on Yantif proper, or you bring him after Yantif, but we pass like Beis Hillel, you bring him on Yantif proper. So that's the ideal time to bring these Karbanos, but get in line, there are going to be a lot of people, they're bringing the Karbanos. So if in the event that you don't bring it on day number one, for whatever reason, so you have days to make it up. On Sukkos, and on Pesach, so you make it up over the balance of Yontif. So there are actual days of Yontif that will represent the days of Tashlamim. However, Shavuos is a bit of a head-scratcher. I mean, it's not going to be. We're going to end up concluding very clearly. But Shavuos is a bit of a head-scratcher because Shavuos is only one day of Yontif. And now if I don't bring the Shami Chagig and the Olas Riyah on Shavuos, then now what? So as we learned in yesterday's daf, but we're going to be doing it again just to finish off yesterday's daf, and that is that you also have Zayin Yemei Tashlumim, even though there's no Yontif there. There's no Yontif, there's no Chol HaMoed, it's nothing. It's a regular day. But nevertheless, they are Zayin Yemei Tashlumim. And how do I know that? So that was yesterday's daf. That was the question that we asked in yesterday's daf, and we answered it. We answered it very clearly. The Gemara gave us a drasha. If you go back to yesterday's daf, and you Zayin Yemei Aleph immediately after the Mishnah, so the Gemara quotes B'Shem Reb Elazar. But Reb Elazar Amar Reb Yoshia. So how do I know? So the Gemara yesterday had a drasha, and the drasha came to us via Hekesh. That's enough in terms of a review of yesterday's daf, although we do need to know it just to appreciate the hemshech of the Gemara, but meanwhile it's a Hekesh. The Torah in Parshas Re'eh says that the three Yamin Tovim are put together in one Pasuk. Why are they put together in one Pasuk? To create a Hekesh, so that we can learn halachas one from the other. And most notably, just like by Pesach, there's Zayin Yemei Tashlumim. Excuse me. So too, same thing with Shavuos. There's also going to be Zayin Yemei Tashlumim as well. The Gemara, I'll just review one more point. The Gemara yesterday wanted to know, well, why not say 8? Meaning, Sukkos is 8 days, so the Gemara gives the rule of Tafasta Meruba, Lo Tafasta. Anyway, that's what we saw in the course of yesterday's daf. Debei Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Tana. So, according to the Yeshiva Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, we learned the following. We're now continuing in the Gemara. On Yud Zayin Amud Beis, we're 6 lines from the bottom. Amakra, the Pasuk says, Akratim uvikutzrachem. So, we have a Kriya, meaning the day itself is going to be called a Yom Kodesh, uvikutzrachem, and you're going to be harvesting. So, Ezechag, Shatakare vikotzer. So, Bo, Haviyamr Zechagatzeres. So, on what day are you going to be declaring it to be Yantiv, and you're also going to be harvesting as well? So, that's going to be Chagatzeres. It's going to be Shavuos. So, in other words, that's the time where you harvest. Now, we are not agriculturally sensitive. So to us, it's not a Dover Pashut, but for those people who are agriculturally sensitive, it's Pashut. So so the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. So what are we talking about over here? Are we talking about An Yantiv? So Ksir B'Yantiv Mishari. So you know that you're not allowed to be Kotsi An Yantiv. That's a Malacha. So I allow the Tashlamim. So I must be talking about Tashlamim. So fine. So so that comes to tell me that there is a post-Shavuos day in which you're going to be karata, meaning it's a little bit fine tuned over here. It's a really subtle point in that it's Shavuos, but yet we're harvesting, so it's not Shavuos, but yet it's Shavuos. Okay, so I know it's a little bit of a ping pong over here, but basically the idea is that there are days that you can bring the karbanos of Shavuos, and that of course is the day after Shavuos. Perfect. Okay, so Phil already is sensitive to the question, which the Gemara is basically going to raise, and that is, okay, the drush is wonderful. How do I know what the number is? The Alpha Gav Deitma Reb Elazar Reb Yoshev Itzrach the Reb Elazar Ben Yaakov. Now the Gemara says, now when all said and done, I take a sum balance of what I learned yesterday, what we learned today, and what comes out now is that really we have two drushes. We have yesterday's drusha, let's call it the Hekesh drusha, and we have today's drusha, which is the I can't do Kitzir on Shavuos. It must be referring to the day after Shavuos. So now, the Gemara says they're both necessary. So the Gemara says, look, if I only had yesterday's drasha of the Hekesh, Here's what I would have said if I just had the Hekesh, and that is, well, do you know what the 7 days of Pesach are? They're also Basias Malacha, meaning it's Yontif. Yontif Chalamawid, but in other words, that has elevated Kedusha. So if all I had was the Hekesh, so then I would have walked away concluding, Shavuos also. For those 7 days, they have elevated Kedusha. Whatever you want to call them. Yontif Chalamawid, but they have elevated Kedusha. So that's why the second drasha, meaning the drasha that we just learned this morning, is there to teach us that no. In other words, even though it's Yemei Tashlumim and I can make up the Karbanos, nevertheless the day itself has no Kedusha. And even the Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov lo yadana kama shmalan, the Rabbi Lazar amar Rabbi Yoshia. And if all I had was the drasha of today, the Kutzruchem, I don't know how many days there are for Tashlumim. I have to go back to yesterday's drasha of the Hekesh to tell me the number of days of Tashlumim. So, the Gemara says, when all is said and done, even though we have concluded yesterday's daf, and even though we now have two drashas, that get us to the Zayin Yemei Tashlumim, nevertheless, the truth of the matter is that they really need one another. It's two drashas, but they complement one another. Okay. Almost brings us now to the conclusion of the Gemara, vis-a-vis, how do I know, that there are Zayin Yemei Tashlumim? Obviously, nowadays we no longer have a base of Mikdash, so these halachas are no longer relevant, but that's not accurate. There is relevancy to these halachas even nowadays. Now, the one that is most popular, of course, is no Tachanan. Meaning, obviously, we don't say Tachanan on Yantav, and we don't say Tachanan on Cholamoid. Those are no-brainers. But in addition to that also, even the days after Shavuos HaSoah, we don't say Tachanan. Why? Because they're Yemei Tashlumim. Because had we had a base of Mikdash, they're candidates for days in which I could bring a Karban. So there is that quasi-simcha of those days. And as a result of that, you do not bring... we don't say Tachanan on those days. Okay, and yes, there is a question in terms of how to count the 7 days after Shavuos. Okay, but I don't have to get that detailed. But anyway, that's number one. Number two, less popular, but just as relevant nowadays, and that is that if a person were starting a shloshim, and the shloshim now is broken by Shavuos does not count as 1 day towards the shloshim, but Shavuos actually counts as 7 days towards the shloshim. So that means to say, we saw this by Yontif, but now it's a chesh even by Shavuos as well. Even though Shavuos is 1 day, but in terms of the way we're going to count it, it counts as 7 days. And so therefore, if a person is shloshim and now going into Yontif, so that's going to now, that'll go 7 days towards the shloshim. Just to be a little bit clear, by the way, in other words, it breaks its avelos. In other words, if shloshim goes against Shavuos, Shavuos breaks shloshim altogether. Okay, anyway, but the Shavuos is going to be counting 7 days towards shloshim. Okay, that's another era in halacha in which it's relevant even bizman as that. Yud Ches Amud Aleph, we're at the very top of the Amud, V'Reish Lakish Amar V'Chagat Katzir. Reish Lakish says, I have a drasha. Again, the question now becomes, how do I know that there are Zayin Yemei Tashlumim for Shavuos? The Pasuk says, V'Chagat Katzir, Eizu Chag Shata Chogeg V'Kotzer. What is the yontif in which you're going to be Chogeg, meaning we're obligated to bring a Karban Chagiga, and we're going to be harvesting? So, Aviyomer Zatzeres. So that's Shavuos Amos. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question. Well, what are we talking about? Elam b'yantav k'sir b'yantav mishari. You're not allowed to do k'sir on yantav itself. Elav lo tashlumim. It's talking about tashlumim. I'm Rav Yochanan Elam Yata. So Rav Yochanan says, look, that drasha that you give, it's similar to the previous drasha. That's a very good point. But Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, look, that drasha that you just cited, based on the pasuk in Mishpatim, not a good drasha. So Rav Yochanan says, consider. How does the Torah describe sukkahs? Chag ha'asif, eizu chag shish ba'asifa, ha'ave omer zeh chag ha'sukkahs. That's talking about sukkahs. Amos. Yilema b'yantav, malacha b'yantav mishari. So when are you doing asifa? When are you gathering? So you're doing an anyantav, you're not allowed to do an anyantav. So ala b'chol shamoid. So the Gemara says chol shamoid mishari. Yeah, you're not allowed to do it on chol amoid as well. I mean, chol amoid, there's also isur malacha. Ala chag ha'ba b'zman asifa. So what it must mean is that, no, we're just simply giving us the season. This is a season in which we're going to be celebrating Sukkot. But it doesn't mean that you're going to be doing asifa at any point during Sukkot. Not in Yontif, not in Chol HaMoed. So, Achinami, Chagaba, Bizman Kitzira. So, over here as well, in other words, the Pshat and the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, it just simply means that it is a Yontif that comes during the season of harvesting, that's Shavuos. But in other words, but it doesn't mean that you're going to be harvesting on Shavuos, nor is it making a reference to the Zayin Yemei Tashlumim as well. Okay. So Rav Yochanan didn't like the attempt of Reish Lakish in terms of his drasha. Okay, so now we're going to pause because we're about to start the Chol HaMoed Sukkah. But meanwhile, when all said and done, how do I know that there is Zayin Yemei Tashlumim? It's a question that started on yesterday's daf, really immediately after the Mishnah. And now the Gemara gave us two drushas that the Gemara seems to conclude, and a couple of other possible suggestions. But really, when all said and done, two drushas. Rav Yochanan rejected the drusha of Reish Lakish because when it comes to Sukkos, there is no asifa. You can't be gathering because you're not going to be gathering on Yontif and you're not going to be gathering on Chol HaMoed as well. Why? Because you can't do malacha on Chol HaMoed. Now, we just spent the Masechta discussing it. In fact, the Masechta immediately prior to Chagiga, it's called Moed Katan. And in Moed Katan, we spent the first two Prakim discussing it, and a little bit of the third as well, the three Prakim in total in Moed Katan. So we spent the first two Prakim talking about the Isser of doing Malacha on Chol HaMoed. It's interesting. Over the course of the Masechta, were we clear about the idea of Malacha on Chol HaMoed? Is it Nisr D'Oraisa, Nisr D'Rabbanan? There is a line in the entire Masechta. I know, it's funny. A Masechta dedicated to this topic. There's a line in the entire Masechta that gives us the impression that it was Nisr D'Oraisa, but at no point in the Masechta did the Gemara ever make this point clear. Today's Daf Chagiga, half of the Daf is dedicated to the simple question of doing Malacha on Chol HaMoed. Is that Nisr D'Oraisa or is that Nisr D'Rabbanan? And the Gemara now is about to start it because Rav Yochanan, the reason why he rejected Reish Lakish is because you know you're not allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, and obviously in the context of the Gemara, he meant midaraisa. You're not allowed to do malacha, and now the Gemara wants to know, how do I know that? So it's a bit strange, but we pointed this out back in Moed Katan, but now we get to review and repeat it on a day that's obviously the appropriate day to do so, and that is that the discussion of what is the nature and the status of malacha on Chol HaMoed, whether or not it's an Isser D'Oraisa, is today's daf. Chagiga daf Yud Ches. Okay. It just came in. Asifa, right. So I would say Mamer. Yeah, Mamer. Mem Ayin Mem Resh, right? One of the 39 malachas, fruit that falls into the fruit that falls off the tree in the field. So you're not allowed to collect it. Okay. Discussion of whether it's it's only out in the field but not in your house. Okay. Anyway, but yeah, I would say Mamer. Right, what are the opinions of what Slavcha did? Absolutely. Okay, so it comes out a little bit strange. I'm also going to remind everyone, myself included, that there was a Rashi in the very beginning of Moed Katan, where obviously there the Mishnayos opened right out of the gate talking about what you can and cannot do, and Rashi had a line over there that in terms of the Malachas on Chol HaMoed, Masru L'Chachamim. What the Torah did is the Torah basically handed over the reins of Malacha and Chol HaMoed to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim can make that determination of which Malachas are Asur, which Malachas are Mutar. Where did Rashi get that from? So I'll just tell everyone, wait. In other words, at the end of the Sugya, on the bottom of our Amud, so you're going to see that line in our Gemara over here. Obviously, Rashi is borrowing the language from our Gemara over here in Chagiga. Okay, so we'll wait for that. In the meantime, however, okay, now with that, we can just pick it up where we left off. Michlal. So we are in Yud Ches Amud Aleph, and we're about 8-9 lines from the top of the Amud. Michlal de Tavar Yisvira Lehu de Chol Shomawed Aser be'asiyas malacha. Bein le'Reish Lakish, bein le'Rav Yochanan, doing malacha on Chol HaMoed is an Isser d'Oraisa. So menahan emilis, how do I know that the Tanur Rabbanan? The Gemara is going to be giving us drushas. And when I say drushas, I mean a lot. Right? The four, maybe we can count five. There are going to be multiple drushas coming up in the Gemara in terms of where do we see this clearly in the Torah. Okay, so, as a general rule, right, you've heard me say this before. If there are multiple drushas, four or five different drushas, so what already does that tell us? That in other words, we don't, right, we're uncertain. Okay, and that uncertainty will continue in the Rishonim, but let's first go through the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan Eis Chag HaMatzos Tishmor Shevas Yamim. So for 7 days, we're going to be Shomer. In other words, and Shmira, we know, every time you see the word Shmira, it means that there's an Isser Malacha, right? Shabbos, right? Shmoras HaShabbos. Okay, so over here, Shmira. So Chag HaMatzos Tishmor Shevas Yamim, and for 7 days, you're going to be Shomer. So Li Medal Cholo Shomoi Chaser Basias Malacha Div Rabbi Yoshias. Rabbi Yoshias says, done. That's it. That's our drasha. What more do we need to talk about? Funny question, because as you'll see, there are many drashas. Rabbi Yonasan Omer Einot Zarech Kavachomer. Rabbi Yonasan says, I don't need a pasuk. We could just simply argue this through a Kavachomer. Ma Rishon V'Shviyah Shein Kedusha Lefnei Malacha Rei Maser Basias Malacha. So talk about the first and seventh day, where it's not bracketed, and meanwhile those days are Aser Basias Malacha. Chol HaMoed Sheyesh Kedusha Lefnei U'La'acharim Enodin Sheyasar Basias Malacha. So when talking about Chol HaMoed, where it's bracketed between Kedusha, days of sanctity, days 1 and 7, so the days in between for sure should have an Isser Malacha. So the Gemara says, really, that's an argument? Let's see how that argument plays out in other areas. So what about Sunday through Friday? Do you know Sunday through Friday are bracketed between days of Kedusha? It's called Shabbos and Shabbos. Now, what do you want to tell me? That those days are also Basias Malacha? And that, of course, is an absurd conclusion. So So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's not comparable. Are you bringing a Karban Musaf on a regular Sunday through Friday? The answer, of course, is no. So Tomar B'chol Shemoi Sheishba Karban Musaf. Meanwhile, Chol HaMoed, there's a Karban Musaf. So Chol HaMoed is much more appropriate to be described as being between the first and seventh day of Pesach. So Rosh Chodesh Yochich, so the Gemara says, really, Karban Musaf? That's a litmus test? That's a terrible litmus test. Consider Rosh Chodesh. Sheishba Karban Musaf, Amotar Basias Malacha. You know, in Rosh Chodesh, we bring a Karban Musaf, and there's no prohibition of doing Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. I know we did a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah not so long ago that told us that there is some form of Isser Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. But right now we could say Kipshuta, we don't have to be fancy over here. There is no Isser Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Let's just say it's simple. Mala Rosh Chodesh she'ein kari mikra kodesh. So Tama b'chol shamoi she'kari mikra kodesh. So meanwhile, I can't compare Rosh Chodesh to Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed falls under the category of mikra kodesh, meaning when the Torah unrolls all the Yom Tovim, so it gives the header of these are the Mikra'i Kodesh. And obviously, we go through all Yontif and every day of Yontif. Rosh Chodesh is not included in Mikra'i Kodesh. So, hold the current Mikra'i Kodesh, Dinu Shiyas Basis Malacha. So, taking everything into consideration, where Chol HaMoed, there are, it's bracketed by Yemei Kedusha. It has a Karban Musaf, and it's called Mikra'i Kodesh. You put that all together. So, therefore, so Dinu Shiyas Basis Malacha. So, now we can logically conclude that there is, in fact, an Isser Malacha. So in this brisa that we just learned together, there are two opinions, Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonasan, in terms of where the source of the Isser Malacha is for Chol HaMoed. According to Rabbi Yoshi, it is a drasha, and according to Rabbi Yonasan, it's a kav v'chomer. We're not done. Tanya Yirach, we have another brisa. Kol Malacha Zavo Delo Sasu Limin Chol HaMoed. Sha'aser Be'asias Malacha Div Rabbi Yoshi Aglili. So Rabbi Yoshi Aglili learns it out from Kol Malacha Zavo Delo Sasu. And again, looking at the pasuk in context, it seems to be describing all days of Yontif, including Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Einot Tzarech Harei Omer, Eila Moed Hashem. Bamei Akasa Medamer. Rabbi Kiva says, unnecessary, meaning just open up to the beginning of Parshas Emor. Not the Parsha, but the Parsha of the Moados. So, Perichav Gimel. Eila Moed Hashem. What is the pasuk talking about? Im Barishon Arei Kvar Nemar Shabbaton. Im Bishvi Arei Kvar Nemar Shabbaton. So already days 1 and 7 are described as Shabbaton, days of cessation, days where you cannot do malacha. So ha ein akas madaber ela b'chol shamar lam d'chashasar b'asiyas malacha. When it says ela moed Hashem mikrei kodesh, it's talking about Chol HaMoed. Okay, so those were drashas, let's just call it right now 3 and 4, meaning Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonasan. We have Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, and we're still not done. Tan Yidach, the Gemara quotes another braisa. So for 6 days, you're going to be eating matzah. And what about day 7? Atzeres Lashem. A day where we're stopping. Mashviya atzur, av sheshes yamim atzurim. Just like on day 7, we stopped doing malacha, so too on the 6 days prior, we also don't do malacha. Imashviya atzur b'chol malacha, av sheshes yamim atzurim b'chol malacha. Well, you know, on day 7, we're not allowed to do any malacha. Maybe the same thing can be said regarding the previous 6 days. So tamalamer, uva yamashviya atzeres. No, there is going to be a distinction to be made, a demarcation between the days prior and the seventh day. So, and who's to make that determination of how exactly they're differentiated? So, so that's handed over to the Chachamim. Lam lacha, ezu yom asur ve'ezu yom mutar, ezu malacha asura ve'ezu malacha mutaris. And the Chachamim are given the reins and the ability to determine what's going to be Asr and what's going to be Mutter. Okay. Adkan Divrei HaGemara, that is the end of the Gemara regarding the number of drushas that we have vis-a-vis the Isser Malacha and Chol HaMoed. Is an Isser Daraisa? I'm going to pause, by the way, just for a second. Is it an Isser Daraisa? Okay. So, according to a simple reading of today's daf, the first half of today's daf, the answer would seem to be yes. Yeah, it's a good point, and that was running through my head as I was reading the Gemara. right? In other words, it doesn't really mean, it doesn't, I know it says 6 days, but it doesn't. In other words, the, okay, right? So, good, excellent point. All right, so is it Nisa Daraisa or is it not Nisa Daraisa? So look at Tosfos over here. We're not going to go through the entirety of Tosfos, but just the opening is going to give us the proper sense of how to understand the Gemara. Lich ora Tosfos dibra maska chol shomawein. Aser basis malacha lich ora mashma de malacha de mitzra be midaraisa. So it sounds like the iser of doing malacha and chol hamoed is an iser daraisa. The mapik lebe mi pasuk. Look how many psukim we use to extract this din. Sounds like an iser daraisa. And v'chein perik beis de moed katan. Now I mentioned at the beginning, at the intro, that there is a line of Gemara in moed katan. In the entirety of the Masechta, there's one line of the Gemara that gives us a sense that's an iser daraisa to do malacha and chol hamoed. And here Tosfos quotes it on daf yud aleph. Lo mi baye aval. I'm sorry. De moed katan lo mi baye aval. That's it. Chol HaMoed, it's a din daraisa, it's an isa daraisa. That's a line in the Gemara Moed Katan. V'chein perish asam bekuntras, and if you look at Rashi over there in that Gemara, that's how Rashi says it. V'kama malachas d'sharin nasam hechim isharu. So, and Tosfos right now is wondering, really, it's an isa daraisa, to do malachan chol HaMoed. So now, how can there be any heterim? Meaning, we went through Moed Katan just in the previous Masechta, not so long ago. So what did we learn? We learned that on Chol HaMoed you're not allowed to do malacha. We also learned together a number of times where it's mutter. There clearly is some relaxation of malacha on Chol HaMoed. It's indisputable. And so what Tosfos says now is that if we're talking about Issa D'Raisa, so how does that work now? That min ha-Torah it's asur, but there are exceptions? That's very strange. V'chihechem atzino Issa D'Raisa miksasu asur miksasu mutter. Is that how an Issa D'Raisa works? Some of it's asur and some of it's mutter? The Otanan, and then he goes on from there. And Tosfos, you get all the way to the end, so Tosfos is of the position. Now I say Tosfos, by the way, there's not one clear position within the Balei Tosfos, obviously. Tosfos represents an entire yeshiva, an entire school, generations of what we now call Ashkenazim, but generations of Bnei Torah in the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th century in Germany and France. So it's not one person, but still, as a collective, Tosfos is really struggling with this question of whether or not the Issur Malacha on Chol HaMoed is an Issur D'Oraisa or an Issur D'Rabbanan. Okay, and I encourage you. We're going to go on, but I encourage you go through Tosfos, and it just scratches the surface of a really large topic in terms of whether or not Malacha on Chol HaMoed is an Issur D'Oraisa or an Issur D'Rabbanan. Okay, yes.
But they end up saying that.
That's Tosfos' conclusion. That's correct. But that's just Tosfos. In other words, not the Rishonim are dividing this issue. Yeah, Danny.
Why can't you infer it? Because the Psukim Befer says 1 in 7
yeah.
are holiday.
Right.
So that means the others aren't.
So okay, that's it's an argument. And it sounds reasonable. And the Gemara argued, one opinion argued another direction. But again, by virtue of the fact, I made this point earlier, by virtue of the fact that you have multitude of positions within the Tanaim, that already gives us the impression that, in other words, this is not linear. This is not a linear discussion. Okay, let's continue. You go back to the Mishnah, so I'll just read the header and Mutar and Behes, but V'tanit Shalala Kaimus Tivar Armin Matar Sachar Shabbos. So what happens now when Shavuos falls out on a Shabbos or on a Friday according to Beis Shammai? But let's just deal with what happens when it falls on Shabbos. So now the karbanos of the Shamech Hagiga and the Olas Riyah cannot be brought on Shabbos. They have to be postponed to the next day. That next day, Sunday, is what's called Yom Tovoach. Now, Yom Tovoach has an interesting history. I touched on this yesterday, but now I'll just spend a minute talking about it today. The history behind the Shavuos on a Sunday is that you had a sectarian group called the Tzedukim. So they broke away from our Mesorah, and with the declaration that there's no Torah Shabbat Peh, we just simply have Torah Shabbat Chsav. Okay, and of course the irony, by the way, that you, in other words, even if you give up on Torah Shabbat Peh, which they did, but you still have to say a pshat in the Chumash, meaning you still need to interpret the Torah. Okay, so they rejected a Torah Shabbat Peh only to give their own Torah Shabbat Peh, but Tzedukim weren't the only sectarian group. There were multiple sectarian groups, but the Tzedukim, they get the most airtime, if you will, in the Gemara. So they were insistent on having Shavuos fall out on a Sunday. Now, it's predicated on the fact that the Torah, when describing when to start counting the Omer, the Torah says, Mimacharos HaShabbos. Again, going back to Parshas Emor and the instructions in terms of when to start counting the Omer. So it's Mimacharos HaShabbos. Now, we have a Mesorah, and our Mesorah tells us, Mimacharos HaShabbos means the day after the first day of Pesach. Shabbos over there is to be understood as the first day of Pesach. That's our Mesorah. Okay, so the Tzedukim drop the Mesorah, and they understand that you start counting the day after Shabbos. Now, you start counting 50 days, and your first day is going to be Shabbos, so that means to say that your count is always going to end on a Sunday. You don't have to overthink it, meaning it doesn't matter whether it's the months or Malei Chaser. In other words, the count is always going to end on a Sunday. So as far as the Tzedukim were concerned, they want the Shavuos to be on a Sunday, and what they did if possible, is they manipulated the calendar. Okay, a discussion going back to Rosh Hashanah, a discussion going to the seventh Perek of Menachos. Anyway, whenever they had an opportunity, they went ahead and they manipulated the calendar in order to make sure that Shavuos would fall out on a Sunday, in order to say that their pshat in the Torah is correct. Okay, their pshat in the Torah is not correct, in other words, because they abandoned the Mesorah. But anyway, that's the history behind the Tzedukim. And because the Tzedukim had a lot of influence and power, we discussed this already back in Yuma, right? Some of the Kohanim Gedolim were Tzedukim. So because they had so much influence and power, so a number of legislative measures were made in order to make sure that the Tzedukim were not given any kind of validation. And here's one. In other words, we saw this yesterday, but we get to review today for just a couple of lines. And that is that let's say Shavuos falls out on Shabbos. Okay, so didn't even fall on Sunday, but it fell out on Shabbos. But now what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to postpone, meaning we can't offer the Karbanos on Shabbos, so we're going to have to bring them on Sunday. So what the Mishnah says is, yeah, but you know what we're going to do, though? We don't want to give the Tzedukim any validity. So obviously we're going to bring the Karbanos on Sunday, meaning that's still a mitzvah. But what we're going to do, however, is that for that Sunday, we're going to ask the Kohen Gadol to dress down. I know that sounds funny, but that's what we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. So the Kohanim were instructed to, and specifically the Kohen Gadol was instructed to dress down, right, in the Mishnah. So im chalal yos b'shabbos yom tevoch achar shabbos ein kohen gadol mislambesh b'kelav. Okay, now there are a couple of pshat in what that means, but I'm just saying over Rashi's pshat. The Kohen Gadol was asked basically, don't dress nicely that day. In other words, don't give any validation that today is Shavuos. It's not Shavuos. It's just a makeup day. And furthermore, the Mishnah went on to say, umutar b'hes bit of a tannis, and also you eulogize on that day as well, and you fast on that day as well. Again, not to give any validity to the Tzedukim. Good. So that's just a quick recap of what we saw yesterday. The Gemara is bothered because of a Braisa. Now, in our Gemara, we have the word Va'itmar. It should be corrected to Va'atanya. Maisa, I think it's Alex, but anyway. Alex, Alexa. Belud v'nichtnesu kol Yisrael l'softo v'lo nichem Rabbi Tarfon m'mnei shiyam tov shel atzeres hayam. So the Braisa says that there was a death of Alexa, and they wanted to eulogize, and Rabbi Tarfon said, no, you can't, because it's Yom Tov Shel Atzeres. That's the Braisa. The Braisa is a little bit tricky, and the Gemara is trying to untangle the Braisa. So Yom Tov Sakadacha, Iba Yom Tov Mika Asu. What are we doing? We're bearing on Yantav? People are coming in on Yantav? What's going on over here? So the Gemara says, Ela Ema Mimesh Yom Tov Chayam. Okay, so we're going to have to make an editor's note over here in the Braisa, and we're going to understand that It's not Yontif, it's Yom Tavoach. It's the day after Yontif. And now, assuming that that's correct, and the Gemara is not going to give any alternative shot, so we're assuming now that that's correct. And what's happening over here now is that's the Yom Tavoach, and Rabbi Tarfon said, don't eulogize. Now, we learned in our Mishnah just the opposite. No, you should be eulogizing on that day, because again, we don't want to give any validity to the Tzedukim. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. When Shavuos falls on Shabbos, like our Mishnah scenario exactly depicts, and then the Yom Tovach is going to be on a Sunday, we want to give zero validity to the Tzedukim. And therefore, telling the Kohen Gadol, you dress down. If we have a eulogy opportunity, we're going to eulogize, etc., etc. But if Yom Tovach comes out during any other day of the week, so then you will treat it as a quasi-yantiv, and because that doesn't provide any validity to the Tzedukim. Okay, it is, okay, here we get to a tricky part of the Gemara. the Yom Tovach is going to be any other day of the week. You know what that's called? That's called Shavuos. Meaning if Shavuos falls on any other day of the week, so you're going to be bringing the Karbanos on the Yom Tov itself. So how is there a Yom Tovach? Meaning isn't everyone going to be bringing on Shavuos itself? Okay. Let's leave that off as a question. There are answers to that question. Anyway, but still, the distinction is still good. Meaning that our Mishnah is talking about where the Yom Tovach is a Sunday, and the Braisa was talking about where it was on some other day. Okay, and now we turn the page, and we're on Yud Ches Amud Beis, and here we are now. Welcome to the second half of Chagiga. And in the second half of Chagiga, we're turning our attention to Tumah Tahara. Okay, why? Meaning this is Seder Moed, and we're learning about Yontif, and now we're going to be talking about Tumah Tahara. So first of all, yes. Okay, and even if you didn't sign up for it, so you did. Okay, and the as Rashi points out over here, the reason why we're talking about Tumah Tahara now is because Tumah Tahara is going to behave a little bit differently on Yontif. Now, you don't have to understand that right now. It's fine. As we go through the Gemara, you will understand that. Rashi makes that point right here somewhere in our Amud. And so there is going to be interplay and intersection between Tumah Tahara and Yontif. So it is relevant for Chagiga, for Seder Moed. Good, and this is how we're going to be ending our Masechta. So just a week. But, okay, I find personally, just if I can give words of inspiration, it's not my forte. The more I go through this, and the better I understand this, the more I appreciate this, and the more it speaks to me. So, if this is a world that you are unfamiliar with, so just I encourage just go through it more and more, and we'll get a better sense of it. Okay, now would be a great time to go through a lengthy introduction of the rules of Tumah Tahara and the rules of Tumah Tahara. And so forth and so on. I'm not going to do it. So at least, okay. I'm sorry. and I understand. Okay. Thank God. Okay. I'm proud that I have at least some basic knowledge of Tumah Tahara where I could be giving a lengthy introduction, but I'm not going to do it. So what we're going to do is basically we're going to learn on the fly as we go through the Mishnah and the Gemara. So we'll just, you'll hear me say it out. And what you'll do is that if you already have a degree of comfort, I know some people here have gone through the daf multiple times here in this room, Baruch Hashem. So what you'll hear me do is you'll just, as we're speaking, you're going to hear me speak it out. And if, you know, this is your first time going through it, so it'll be rough. And if it's not, then you'll be much smoother. Okay, no linli adayim. So you wash your hands. And over here we're talking about when now your hands become tameh. Okay, the idea of your hands become tameh does not operate on a d'oraisa level. I mean, a Torah, your hands cannot become tameh. Either your entire body becomes tame, or none of you becomes tame. Tumah, for as far as the person is concerned, is an all or nothing entity as far as the Torah is concerned. However, the Chachamim where goes, there are a number of occasions where your hands are going to become tame. Okay, see the Gemara in Shabbos where the Gemara talks about Yud Ches Davar for 18 different circumstances in which the Chachamim said your hands are going to become tame. So, if your hands become tame, so how you mitar him? So then you can be mitar them in one of two ways. You can either take a cup of water that holds a quarter of a log, a revius of water, and pour them over your hands. Okay, it's what you and I call netilas yadayim, all right, or in some circles negelwasser. So or alternatively, what you could do is you could take your hands and you could put them in a mikvah. Okay, obviously that we don't need to do that. In other words, netilas yadayim would be sufficient in order to remove the tumah if it's just the hands. But what you can do is you can take your hands and you can put them in the mikvah. So what the Mishnah is now telling us is not l'chulin l'chulin l'maiser l'truma. So if you're going to eat chulin or maiser, or you're going to be eating truma, so then you do a netilas yadayim, meaning you just simply take a revius and pour it over your hands, and you're done. Now the idea that you're doing netilas yadayim for chulin, meaning chulin has no kedusha whatsoever. What's happening? So hold that thought. So ula kodesh matbilin. Now, if you plan on eating Kodesh, of course, over here meaning carbon. So now what do you have to do with your hands? So it's insufficient for you to just simply take the revius water and pour it over your hands. But rather what you have to do is now you have to take your hands. You have to put them in a mikvah. It's a strange image. You're standing over a mikvah. You take your hands now and you put them in the mikvah. But again, now for Kodesh, malu. They made chumras over here. This world of Tumah Tahara that we just walked into right now is a world that operates on a rabbinic level. It's all midrabbanan. Again, min haTorah, your hands are not tameh. But, hey, Mamru, so they said that your hands are tameh. In other words, they instituted the Tumah de Rabbanan. And then, depending on what you plan on doing with those hands, So they also said how to be matara them. And again, the idea over here is really simple. The higher level of Kedusha, the more requirement the Chachamim gave in terms of how to provide Tahara. Now, Ulechatas, now as far as the Chatas is concerned, Chatas over here means the Mechatas, the water of the solution of the Maim Chaim and the Efer HaPara. Once they're mixed together now and you want to handle it, so you have to be in a total state of Tahara to the point in which if your hands are Tamei, so vis-a-vis chatas, mechatas, your whole body now becomes tame. And now, as a result of that, what do you need to do? You need to go into the mikvah. Ola chatas im nitmu yadav nitmu gufa. Now, next, you tovel in the mikvah. So if you tovel in the mikvah, so you're tahor, right? But again, over here on a rabbinic level, so they're going to be levels. So, right? Yeah. On a rabbinic level, they're going to be levels. So that means to say that when you tovel in the mikvah, so you have to have in mind what you're toveling for. There has to be kavana. There has to be intent. And so the Mishnah goes on to say, Tavla chulin huchzik lechulin, asa lemaiser. Tavla maiser huchzik lemaiser, asa lechuma. Tavla chuma huchzik lechuma, asa lekodesh. Tavla kodesh huchzik lekodesh, asa lechatas. Okay, so basically, we just go up the levels. Meaning if you're toveling in the mikvah for chulin, so good. So now you're capped at chulin. If you tovel for maiser, you're capped for maiser, etc., etc. And the levels are Chulin, Meiser, Truma, Kodesh, and Chatas. Now, Tavla Chamer Mutalakal. And now, once you hit a certain ceiling, so that ceiling is going to incorporate anything that's lower than it. So let's say, for example, you tovel for Kodesh. So now that Tila will incorporate in it a successful Tila, not only for the Kodesh, but also for the Truma, Meiser, and Chulin as well. Tavla Velohusla Kilo Tavla. Then the Mishnah has a line that let's say you tovel with no intention whatsoever. It's as if you didn't tovel. Well, the Gemara is going to spend some time in that line of the Mishnah. Big day am ha'aretz midras leprushim. If let's say you have begadim of an am ha'aretz, so it will have medras status. What does medras mean? If you sat on an item that is meant to be sat on, and you are a zav or a zava or a nida or a yoledes, so the item in which you sat on is now going to be tameh to the same degree that you're going to be tameh, and this is what's called tumas medras. If you have now clothing of an Am Haaretz, they are not careful, legabe, tuma tahara, so therefore when they sit on it, so we assume that the clothing is going to be medras. As Rashi points out over here, the wife could easily be a nida, and the wife could have sat on it, and so therefore it will have medras status. So that means to say that if it's the begad of Am Haaretz, and now a parish wants to borrow that clothing, and wants to assume that it's tahor, you cannot assume that it's tahor, rather you have to tovel in the mikvah. So, and now, big day prushim midras laochle truma. But now, as we go up the levels over here, so clothing of a parish. Parish is somebody who's careful about halacha. Doesn't matter. If somebody plans on eating truma, obviously a kohen. So now, if he borrows that clothing, he's going to have to tovel that clothing in the mikvah, again, if he wants to use it in the context of eating truma. Big day ochle truma midras laochle, big day kosh midras lachatas. And once again, the clothing now is going to be working with the same levels that we saw earlier. So same, we're just moving up the ladder, from Truma to Kodesh to Mechatas. Yosef ben Yoazer ha-yachastu shebekunah v'ayisa mitpachto medras ha-kodesh. And the Gemara is going to give us two quick examples. The Mishnah, sorry, is going to give us two quick examples of this idea. Yosef ben Yoazer, chastu shebekunah, really pious individual. And meanwhile, his shmata was medras ha-kodesh. Meaning if anyone's going to borrow any one of his articles of clothing and they're going to eat and they're going to use it in eating karban, they have to tovel in the mikvah. Even though they got it from somebody who's very religious and very observant, it doesn't matter. Meaning this is all just malos as far as institutions of Chachamim made lagabe tum and tahara. And so therefore it doesn't matter who you borrow from. It doesn't matter how religious he is.
What's the gonga? I mean, how could somebody borrow his
clothes from the gonga? It just simply says chastu shebekahuna. Not necessarily. Yochanan ben Gudgada Yochel Altaras HaKodesh, Kol Yamav, Vaisa Mitpachel, Medras Lachatas. Yochanan ben Gudgada would be eating Altaras HaKodesh, meaning he would always eat, treating every food that he ate as if it was carbon. And meanwhile, if somebody borrowed any one of his clothing, and they wanted to handle Mechatas, so once again, the clothing had to be toveled. Okay, again, just a point that the person you could be borrowing from could be a very religious individual, vis-a-vis Tumat Tahara, so these requirements are rock solid. Midrabanan, rock solid requirements. Chulin HaMaiser mi Yibayin Atilas Yadayim Evereminu. So the Gemara says, as far as Chulin HaMaiser Maiser, does it require washing your hands? The Gemara says, is that true? Let's learn together Mishnah Bikurim. The Mishnah Bikurim, second parak of Bikurim. So Bikurim, of course, are the first fruits that are brought to Yerushalayim. Bikurim are going to have the same status as Truma in that it's given to the Kohen, and only the Kohen are allowed to eat it. So Truma and Bikurim, we're going to lump the two together. So Chayav Mala Misa V'Chomesh. Somebody eats a b'mezid, he's chayav misa b'dei shamayim. If somebody eats a b'shogeg, you have to not only pay its principal value, but also chomesh as well. You have to tack on another, let's say, 25%, okay, which is accurate, even though chomesh is a fifth. V'asal azarim, it cannot be eaten by non-kohanim, v'hein nichsei kohen, they belong to the kohen. Meaning to say that a kohen wants to be mekadesh a woman with it, he may do so, it's his money. V'olam b'echad me'a, when does bittul occur? Only when you achieve the ratio of 1 to 100. Then and only then is there going to be bittul. Unlike standard yavish b'yavish, where it's only bittul barov, I only need a majority in order to establish bittul. But when it comes to truma and bikurim, 100 to 1. Utunin nitilas yadayim, and you need to wash your hands for truma and bikurim. V'herev shemesh, and also on top of that, not only do you need nitilas yadayim, but also you have to wait until sunset. Now this is true by b'truma b'kurim. Masha'en came by ma'aser, but it's not so by ma'aser. By ma'aser, you don't have these requirements. And now, if you don't have these requirements by ma'aser, so the Gemara makes the obvious jump, which is v'chol she'kein b'chulin. Now, if I don't need to do netilas yadayim for ma'aser, I certainly don't need to do netilas yadayim for chulin as well. So kasha ma'aser, ma'aser kasha chulin achulin. So now I'm looking at our Mishnah here in Chagiga. I'm looking at the Mishnah b'kurim, and it's confusion because is there a requirement to wash your hands for Meiser and for Chulin? Our Mishnah says yes. The Mishnah Bikurim says no. That's called a stira. So Bishlam a Meiser, Meiser lo kasha had Reb Meir HaRabbanan Dinan. So the Gemara says, as far as Meiser is concerned, do I need to wash my hands for Meiser? It's a Machlokas Tanayim. Okay, good. So we're going to learn the Machlokas Tanayim, and one Mishnah reflects the opinion of one Tana, and the other Mishnah reflects the opinion of the other Tana. So as far as Meiser is concerned, no problem. Let's see the Mishnah. Mishnah and Para. Kol haton bias mayim, midivrei sofrim. Anything that requires hand washing. In other words, what we're discussing right now, meaning your hands become tame, and now your hands require a bias mayim, requires washing. So mitame se kodesh umposo se truma. Umut lechulin ula Meiser divrei Rabbi Meir. So what we will do now, I can say it really simply. In fact, I will say it really simply. Your hands are shnayim, or shniim. They're now second degree tuma, which means now what happens if it touches carbon? Your carbon will be a shlishi. Now, because it's carbonous, carbonous can go up to revi. So that's why the description over here of this Mishnah Parah, it's mitame es hakodesh, meaning that not only will the kodesh that you touch become tame, but with the ability to make something else tame as well. Now, post also truma, it disqualifies truma, which just simply means that the truma now is going to be a shlishi, but because it's truma, it doesn't go beyond shlishi. That's why the term postel is being used. Now, as far as chulin ma'aser is concerned, mutter. You don't need netilas yadayim for, neither for ma'aser nor for chulin. That is shitas Rebbe Meir. The chachamim osrim ma'aser. The chachamim say no. When it comes to ma'aser, of course you have to wash your hands for ma'aser. So you see, regarding ma'aser, it's a machlokas between the tanayim and good. And now, easily we can resolve. It's not a resolution. It just simply is. We can understand. I have a Mishnah Chagiga says you have to wash your hands for Meiser. That Shitas Chachamim. I have a Mishnah Bikurim says you don't have to wash your hands for Meiser. That's Shitas Rabbi Meir. Okay, wonderful. Elachulan, Elachulan Kasha. Now, but obviously we're still left with a problem because our Mishnah says you have to wash your hands for Chulin. The Mishnah in Bikurim says you don't have to. The truth of the matter is it didn't say it, but if you don't have to wash your hands for Meiser, you clearly don't have to wash your hands for Chulin. So lokasha kam b'achila kam b'negia. So the Gemara attempts now to make a distinction between whether you're going to eat or whether you're just going to touch. So maskef la Rav Shimi Barashi ad kan lo pligi rabban ala de Rebbe Meir ela b'achila de Meiser aval b'negia de Meiser v'achila de chulin lo pligi. What are you talking about? If we're talking about touching, there is no debate whatsoever. No one requires you to wash your hands for chulin if all you plan on doing is just simply touching the chulin. So ela ida v'ida b'achila, no. Or they're both talking about eating. V'lokasha kan ba'achila din nahama, kan ba'achila de peire. It depends on whether or not you're eating bread or you're eating fruit. If you're eating bread, you need to wash your hands. If you're eating fruit, you don't need to wash your hands. And the Gemara goes on to say, "Damar Rav Nachman kolanoto yadav leperos harizimigas eruach." You wash your hands for peros. It's gas eruach. It's arrogance. It's religious arrogance to wash your hands over fruit. In other words, don't wash your hands over fruit. But in other words, but when it comes to chul and bread, so for that you're going to wash your hands. Okay, we're going to pause over here and tomorrow. A little bit, I'll try to explain a little bit better why there is a requirement to wash your hands over chul and bread. That requirement obviously continues to this very day. So why should there be distinction between bread versus other foods? Stay tuned tomorrow. I'll discuss it a little bit better. Let's quickly recap. In today's daf, number one, the various drashas that teach us that there is zayin yemei tashlumim. So we learned at the beginning of today's daf, really the end of yesterday's daf, that there's a second drasha as well, a drasha of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. The drasha of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is really complementing yesterday's drasha, the first drasha of yesterday, that of also another Rebbe Elazar, and they complement one another, and that was the opening of today's daf. Okay. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, or at least Reish Lakish, tries to give another drasha. How do I know there's Zayin Yemei Tashlumim? The Gemara ends up rejecting it. In the course of rejecting, we learned that you're not allowed to do Malach and Chol HaMoed. How do I know you're not allowed to do Malach and Chol HaMoed? So an odd place to discuss it, in other words, better place, or seemingly the more correct place would be back in Moed Katan. But okay, but we discussed it over here in Chagiga Daf Yud Ches. And almost the entirety of the Amud Aleph of today's Daf gave us at least five different drashas as to how we know that one is not allowed to do Malach and Chol HaMoed. Okay, does that mean that's an Issa Daraisa? Tosus discusses. And a little bit we quoted from Tosus this morning. Okay, when the Yom Tavoach, meaning Shavuos falls on a Shabbos, and people are bringing their Kabbalahs on Sunday, so we don't want to give any validity to the Tzedukim, therefore, obviously bring the Kabbalahs, but make sure that people don't think that it's actually Shavuos. So how do you go about doing that? We discussed, we noted that the Braisa seems to argue, because the Braisa cited that Rabbi Tarfon did not allow for Hespedim to be done on the day after Shavuos. And so the Gemara says, yeah, but that wasn't a Sunday. Okay. Second half of today's daf. So we opened up into a world of Tumah Tahara. The Mishnah told us a number of malos, a number of levels and stringencies the Chachamim required vis-a-vis Tumah Tahara. So, and we spoke about the requirements to of being Mitara, purification, through Netilas Yadayim, through Mikvah, and with the implants on eating, chulin, meiser, truma, kodesh, or handling mechatas. And I went up and I ascended up in the five levels of the levels of tahara. And if you plan on going to any one of those levels, you have to have the kavanah when you tovel on the mikvah. If you are at a certain level, you can, all the lower levels are subsumed within the higher level, but not in the other direction. Meaning, if you're going to go for a level, you're capped at the level in which you're going for. Our Gemara's discussion that we opened up with today is seemingly the stira between our Mishnah here and the Mishnah Bikurim. Our Mishnah says that there is a requirement to wash your hands for Meiser and for Chulin. The Mishnah Bikurim says that there's no requirement to wash your hands. So as far as Meiser Sheni is concerned, so that is a Machlokes HaTanayim between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Okay, and one Mishnah is reflecting the opinion of one, and the other Mishnah is reflecting the opinion of the other. Vis-a-vis chulin, what do we know? What we know is that there's a distinction to be made between bread and other foods. Breads do require Netilas Yadayim, other foods do not. That's where we stop today.